Well, have you washed your hair today? What shampoo did you use? Do you bother with conditioner? Have you got curly or straight, long or short, thick or thin, grey or blonde, shiny or greasy hair? Well, your hair or absence of it makes you who you are, but it's also unique to you. So are you using the right shampoo? Should you regularly change your shampoo? Just what is your shampoo doing to your scalp? Well, today I have a guest who will do her best to answer all of your questions about your hair and your shampoo. Carolyn Evans is a trichologist hair specialist. She's joined us in the past. And she's also a hair replacement technician with Absolique Hair Health Clinic here in Brisbane. So if you have a question today about your hair, about the products you use on your hair, maybe about an itchy scalp, 1300 222 612 is the number to ring right now. 1300 222 612. And Carolyn will answer your questions. Morning, Carolyn. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
How often should we wash our hair?
Well, it depends. We're all individuals. So depending on whether we've got a scalp condition, oil or scale, or whether your scalp is dry, some people are every day up to, I would recommend at least twice a week.
Twice a week. Because there are a lot of ads on television telling us to use this and that shampoo, and they kind of encourage you to shampoo almost every day. That's my feeling anyway.
Exactly. Use more product.
Use more product. So it's not necessarily the case. How do you tell then? Do you feel your hair? Do you look at your hair? How do you know when you need to?
Someone who has a scalp condition, specifically oil or scale, will feel it coming back, and they normally have an associated itch. So the itch in the oil or the scale reproducing says, well, yeah, I need to wash it away. And generally a lot of the, commercially available products do wash these issues away, but they don't correct the problem. So you have to keep using the product to keep taking it away, and it forms this cycle.
So washing your hair doesn't necessarily solve the problem?
No.
Okay. Do different shampoos really do different things, or is it just marketing?
Depends on the shampoo. Again, a lot of it is marketing, but you've got to remember a hair shampoo is specifically for hair. So we need to use a scalp cleanser and then a hair shampoo. So a lot of the things we see, in advertising, more TV type things or the glossy ads, they are just marketing. A lot of the products have a lot of silicones and things in the hair which coat the hair. And something I'm really passionate about is they now use these wonderful straightening irons, and they're ironing these plastics into the hair, which we call the meltdown.
Mm.
So very much marketing.
For some people, now I know this sounds a bit bizarre, could they just as easily as any shampoo use washing up detergent?
No, but a lot of the shampoos do have strong detergents in them, but they also have softeners and buffers and animal fats and different things to soften the hair. Now, if you go to a prescriptive type of shampoo, which is something that a hair professional will recommend, then they actually do look after and nourish the hair, whereas, some of the easily available ones, they don't do that much.
Okay. Because in the old days, people used to often use soap on their hair, didn't they?
Correct.
Was that bad for their hair?
It's not helping it. If you've got short hair and you don't have a scalp problem, that'll be fine. But you've got to also think that the quality of the soap and what soap used to be made of is very different these days as well.
Okay. Curly or frizzy hair, does it need different treatment?
Definitely. Naturally, curly or frizzy hair lacks moisture. So here in Brisbane, it's a very rainy day today. The people with curly, frizzy hair do not like it at all. So the hair takes on the moisture and it grows. So it definitely needs to have a specific type of treatment. They can't use a normal hair shampoo or they will have problems.
Mm. Now, do people really need to use conditioner?
If you've got long hair, and I recommend more than 15 centimetres long, and if it's chemically treated, you do need to use a conditioner on the hair. But please keep it off the scalp.
Keep the conditioner off the scalp.
That's right.
Only on the extremities of the hair.
Yeah, the hair has a cuticle and the scalp is skin. It has pores. So conditioner is to close the cuticle of the hair and soften and protect it. Where if you put that on your scalp, you're actually blocking the follicles, and a lot of our scalp conditions come from massaging our conditioner into our scalp.
Interesting. Because I've got to say myself, if I use conditioner, which I rarely do, because all it does is hasten the period with which I'm going to have to use the shampoo again, my hair gets greasier quicker because of the conditioner.
Right, there's a lot of animal fats in the conditioner.
And I don't have long hair.
Exactly. So I would recommend you don't need a conditioner.
Okay.
At all.
All right, unless I grow my hair long.
That's right.
Which I might do in my retirement. I might go crazy. Who knows?
Interesting.
We've got callers who'd like to ask you a question. I have more questions, but we'll go to the callers instead. Kay is on the Sunshine Coast. Hello, Kay.
Morning. How are you going?
You're speaking with Carolyn Evans.
Thanks. Carolyn, I have to wash my hair every second night. And if I don't, my hair is just incredibly oily. I've used Salon shampoos and supermarket shampoos, but I just don't know what to do because it's just always oily and I have to keep washing it. So could you recommend anything?
The first thing I recommend there is do some scalp brush therapy. So before you're actually going to get in the shower and wash your hair, give your scalp a really good brush. I'm not talking about brushing your hair, the scalp, and you do it for about 1 to 2 minutes until you feel your scalp is tingling. And what that does is it stimulates the oil gland and it gets all of that horrible oil onto the surface of the scalp. And the next thing I would do is use a scalp cleanser. Don't use a hair shampoo. A hair shampoo will not clean your scalp skin. So if you can do those little things, I can guarantee you, you'll be able to go at least 3 days without that oil returning. Now, if the oil is still returning, then I would say we have to look at whether we have an essential fatty acid deficiency. Because whenever you see oil or extra oil and the brush therapy scalp cleansing doesn't work, well, then we have to go and look internal as well.
Okay, and that scalp cleanser, can you buy that just at Salons or...?
A lot of them do have deep cleansing type shampoos. I think the best thing to do is Google it.
Yeah.
And there's specific words that is a scalp cleanser, because then if you can find that, then you know it's guaranteed to work for those reasons.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Kay. Thank you for your call. Now, Jill from Redlands is on the phone. Hello, Jill.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
Hi, Warren. How are you?
We're both good.
That's good. My issue is with my daughter, who has very thin hair. She's always had thin hair, and it tends to fall out, especially when she studying, and when she's under stress, she tends to lose her hair, and she does wash it every day, but that's because she thinks that it's it looks better if mm-hmm. it's washed, and it looks more volume.
Well, when you start with thin hair and then you may have some hair thinning, then they do tend to wash it every day to, get more volume. But I would go back to why is it thinning? And if it's always related to the study, I'm thinking, is it more than her normal amount of hair loss? So we need to know, is the hair actually falling out, which is what we call diffuse hair loss, or is it hair thinning, which is diffuse hair thinning? Now, what I've found is a lot of students around study time have very poor nutrition. And what that can do is it can interrupt the hair cycle, which results in a thinning of the hair as alternatively to a hair loss. Now, both of them are very serious and they're things that do need to be looked at. Now, I personally use a microscope to diagnose that, and you can actually help it and also prevent it.
So coming along to somebody like yourself would be a helpful thing.
Absolutely, because we give them education on how to avoid this, obviously, when stress comes into life, because it is part of life. So we need to educate them on what to do.
That's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jill. I guess the only alternative is to not have her daughter study, and that's not an alternative.
Not an alternative these days.
Good luck, Jill, and your daughter as well. Colette is in Rockhampton. Morning, Colette.
Hello. I think my question has just been asked previously. I was also going to ask about thinning hair.
Okay. Anything else you want to ask about it, having heard that discussion with Carolyn?
That's all now. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Colette.
Thank you. Bye.
You've answered two for the price of one.
Fantastic.
There. Well done, Carolyn.
Could I just say with Colette there that there are other types of hair thinning. When Jill was on before and she was saying about her daughter, I was thinking it's more of a diffuse, related stress thing. But also with women, I'm seeing a lot of female pattern thinning, and that's quite different, has a very different cause. So we do have to have correct diagnosis. I saw a young girl, 7 years old, with this female pattern thinning the other day, and it's devastating, the environmental factors that are triggering this. I have a lot of very, very young women with this problem. So it does need to be diagnosed correctly.
Is this patches of the scalp without hair?
It's not so much patches, but it's a pattern. And it generally happens around the top sort of recessions of the head. So it's not a patch of hair loss as such, which is alopecia areata. And it's not a generalised thinning, but it is in a specific pattern. And women would know that that's the pattern because it's right at the front of the head, what you see in the mirror.
You're listening to Carolyn Evans, a trichologist hair specialist. 1300 222 612 is the number to ring. 1300 222 612. We've only got 5 minutes left in the program. If you have a question for Carolyn, we do have an SMS number as well, which of course is 0467 922 612. Chris from Paddington has asked this question, sent this message in. Does your hair stop growing after it reaches a certain length?
It does. Like, we all have a length that our hair will grow. So it is between 2 and 8 years. So you see the people with very, very long hair, like down past their knees, like they obviously have a very long hair cycle. But some people only have a length cycle of 2 years, so they can't grow their hair past their shoulders. But what happens is it will fall out because it's been pushed out by the new hair growing. So the hair is always reproducing itself. So it is only when you've got the male pattern thinning and female pattern thinning that you then have this DHT, which is dehydrotestosterone, that can start to kill the hair off as well as the hair cycle.
612 ABC Brisbane and ABC Local Radio Queensland with news just 4 minutes away at noon. Fiona is in Mackay with a problem. Hi, Fiona.
Hello.
Carolyn's with us.
I recently had a back injury and I was in a lot of pain for quite a long time. And that was a couple of months ago. And then I noticed that my hair has just been, every time I touch it, it's just falling out. And I've lost about half my hair.
Fiona, sadly, this is what you would call diffuse hair loss. And you've got a perfect trigger there, sad to say. But when you have an extreme back injury, there's obviously medications involved. Mm. And it really disrupts the body. So what happens is 3 months after the cause, mm-hmm. which is fitting in with what you're saying to me, the hair starts to fall. And now it will fall for 3 months. Mm-hmm. There's not much you can do to interject with that. I've got little things that do help, but it is a natural process. Mm-hmm. Now you need to know that the cause was there. It will fall for 3 months and then it should regrow. But I do recommend that you take some measures on to make sure that the body health is correct when the hair is trying to regrow. Otherwise, it may not grow back correctly and you don't notice that for potentially another 2 years.
Well, I have had a complete lifestyle change because of the injury. So my nutrition and everything and my exercise and everything is pretty good now.
Well, that's good. That will definitely help the hair, because if you have health, then you can grow healthy hair. Now, the last thing where any nutrition goes is the hair bulb. God was a man. He doesn't believe that hair is necessary. Your heart, your kidney, liver, lung, you know, they all get the nutrition. Your hair bulb is the last thing. So when you're recovering from diffuse hair loss, your health is so, so, so important.
Are there any particular foods that are better to eat for your hair?
It's not about foods, it's about balance. Mm. Okay, so you just need to look at that you have the right nutrients coming, and we don't get the nutrients from our food, as we all know, anymore. So I'm a big advocate for supplementation.
Fiona, we'll have to move on. Thank you for your call. Shirley is at Mount Gravatt with an itchy scalp. Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
Hi, Shirley. How can I help?
Oh, well, I was just wondering. I have tried just about every shampoo on the market, and I cannot get anything that doesn't cause my scalp to itch.
Can I ask, does this involve dandruff? Because I'm surprised we haven't had the word dandruff mentioned in 10 minutes.
No, I don't have dandruff.
Just an itchy scalp.
Just an itchy scalp.
See, I would personally use a microscope to see, like, what is on the scalp that's making it itchy. Now, what I find is a lot of time we either have moisture or oil. Now, our own body moisture or oil is an acid base, and we're allergic to ourselves. So that's sitting on the scalp and not being properly cleansed. And it comes back to what I was saying before. Scalp brush therapy and scalp cleansing generally removes the itch. Now, if it doesn't remove the itch, then this is internal. It means we have sensitivities and we start looking at what are the things that are irritating your skin, and we start to calm that down. In addition to that, we start looking at stress, because the stress can cause these reactions as well. So there's simple things we do in the beginning, and if we're not getting a result, then we just keep investigating further. So first thing, get yourself a really good scalp brush,
yep.
Find a scalp cleanser, right. And see if that makes any difference.
Well, I am a celiac, so I've got a fair few allergies.
Well, I would say that you're allergic to a lot of the things that you're using.
Shirley, we'll have to leave it there because we're going to run out of time. Sorry, Denise, who had a question about hairdresser dyes. But Denise, if you hold on, I'll ask Carolyn to talk with you off air. Carolyn Evans from Absolute Hair Health Clinic in Brisbane, thank you very much
You're
for
welcome.
Joining us. Carolyn is a trichologist, hair specialist and hair replacement technician.